let me just say that Rusty went out with the help your friend thing. Well, that's what we got happening today. Help your friend. Because my guest, the planned Waldo Jaquith, cannot make it thanks to today's weather. Poor Waldo Jaquith stuck in his home somewhere north of Stony Point with no power, a bear, no bar, cell phone service, a down phone line. And here I am at the radio station with no guests. Oh, everybody, please feel sorry for me. So you folks will have to be the guests today. In fact, you folks get to be the guests today. We're going to be doing a variety of topics, whatever everyone wants to talk about. We've got Morgan Harrington out there in terms of the remains found, and which many people think that means that there is a local who's done that dastardly deed. The weather, in terms of how your road has been plowed and serviced this time. I've got an unusual story about that that drives me crazy every time. The Virginia legislature, and whatever I can share about that due to my homework, thanks to preparation for Waldo being on the air. My friend Sean McCord is here. Sean, how are you?
Hey, Rick. I'm okay. I've had better days.
I heard that you almost broke your wrist, did break your wrist.
Yeah, I think I just sprained it outdoors yesterday, sledding with the son, with my 12-year-old son. Hit a bump a little hard, and the sled went one way, and I went the other and landed on my hand. And when I wrote you yesterday, it hurt so much I was sure it was broken. But this morning I got a bandage up. I think we're doing okay.
So you are now a left-handed man?
Yes, I have a new respect for Bob Dole. I've had to try to do everything with my left hand since yesterday. And boy, I am a total klutz. I think the technical term is maladroit.
Want to go bowling?
Rusty, you funny man. Want to go bowling?
Yeah, yeah. Do I get a handicap?
I think you have a handicap.
Yes.
Whether or not you're given any points for that. So here we are, 11:04 on the Sunday morning wake up call. Let's give a shout out to NBC 29. I would think that many of you have been watching NBC 29 for the weather. You can also follow them with the Go for the Gold sweepstakes going on right now at NBC29.com. You can enter at the website. Winners are named on most NBC 29 HD newscasts. That's the Go for the Gold sweepstakes only from NBC 29. All right, so the phone lines are open. 979-0919. Toll free, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Your help, your interest is important to today's program. Dial us up. Sean and I can banter back and forth. I'll even drag Rusty in for a little while. We'll talk about how the car thing is going. You know, I took my car because it was time. It was time to get that car serviced, to keep it under warranty. And Rusty, being a friend, is my personal mechanic. And I take it over to the dealership, and the flood had opened. Everybody had decided to take it over there because I had an appointment from a week or two ago for Thursday. And everybody was there on Thursday, apparently because they wanted their cars done before the snow, my God, that we got this weekend. A lot of tires on.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people take care of themselves at that storm in December seemed to have opened everyone's eyes up onto the possibilities, worst case scenario, of potential big snowstorms. Because we went to the grocery store early in the week, there were already people there buying their, you know, filling their caves with their food. What did you find?
I got to say, I think people were more respectful with it this time. On the day before the storm hit last week, you know, people were saying they were going to stay home if at all possible. Everybody remembered the scenes of trucks and cars being stuck on 29 South. I was glad that I'm a university employee, and I'm glad that they had already decided to close on Friday. I'd already decided a couple of days beforehand to take the day off. We were expecting a delivery that day of a new bed. That didn't happen. because the trucker called us up and said, you know what, I just don't want to be on the road right now.
And we had, go ahead, Russ.
I work with a guy whose son works at Lowe's, and they had actually sold out of snow shovels, and they had a truckload come in Friday morning, 500 shovels to Lowe's. So I seriously doubt there's any left, to be honest with you. The parking lot was full, too.
The famous Charlottesville shovel shortage.
Yeah. Well, you know, working for Tiger Fuel Company, we're regularly reminded that for snowstorms, even though many people think of the stores as the place to get your gourmet sandwiches, et cetera, we're reminded that for these type circumstances, we're not a deli, we're a gas station.
Right.
And we will be open. We will open as early, you know, as close to the normal time as we can, and stay open as late to the normal time as we can. But we are given some leeway in terms of people getting to work and getting home. But it's challenging. I mean, you know, we're not the university. And I had an issue previously with someone who said, well, I'm out of school today. But it's not a school job. And so I think in Charlottesville, you tend to battle back and forth with those who don't have to go to work, or those who don't want to go to work
right.
because of the weather,
right.
and those who need or must go to work. I mean that at some businesses who are open, businesses across from us are open 24 hours because of almost like community service for what they do. And the hospital sends people out to pick up the people that they need.
Well, sure, the hospital can't close. If anything, you know, they may have more business than ever. I know last night I was wondering if I was going to end up in the emergency room with my hand. But I was also talking to a local business owner on Thursday who was planning on shutting down on Friday, and he's volunteering to drive a truck to scrape the roads. So I think there's a real spirit of, especially after what we went through in December, where a lot of people tried to ignore the weather, I think this time there was a real spirit of people coming together. I did go to the grocery store on Thursday night, and there were long lines of people, but they were being very polite, and they were, you know, they were lined up and you know, making way for each other. And we bought a turkey. Somehow the weather just somehow it just seemed right. yeah. So we bought a turkey and brined it on Friday and cooked it yesterday. It was delicious. It was like Thanksgiving all over again.
We'd love to hear your story. Call up 979-0919. I'm sorry, Waldo Jakewith couldn't participate today, so I'm going to ask Waldo to join us on a future Sunday while the legislature is still going on, and hopefully we won't be snowed in or out on that particular weekend. So we're just kind of fudging our way through the hour, talking about topics that come to mind and that have been in the news. Certainly the weather here, Sean McCord helping me out, Rusty Sempre still hanging around the studio, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's a toll free 979-0919. Dial us up. Or you're going to force me to call my mother, who I think is playing golf in Florida, sent me some text message about, why don't you find a JetBlue plane and fly down here and hang out with us? Yeah, it just doesn't work that easily. I'm not mostly retired. But, you know, you were talking about Fridays and many people planning ahead to take off.
Mm-hmm.
At the store, you know, we get a lot of deliveries on Friday, everything from the Pepsi guy and the beer guy and the bread guy, et cetera, the produce truck. And all those people had planned in some manner to be off the road as much as possible. A lot of people came in on Thursday. The beer guy shows up on Thursday instead of Friday. The bread guys, I don't know what time they started, but I had to be at the store at 5 a.m., and the bread was already there. You know, the produce people were asking you to call on Thursday and get late afternoon Thursday deliveries instead of, you know, get as much as you could, so the few people as possible from their business would have to be out on over the weekend. And so, yeah, the spirit seemed to be, or the planning seemed to be there.
Well, the fact that we went through this in December, I think, helped a lot. Rick, I don't know if you Twitter, but there was actually a discussion starting Tuesday or Wednesday last week when the weather reports first began rolling in. People were saying, what hashtag should we use? When you're on Twitter, you give a hashtag in your in your outgoing announcements, and that way you can read all the feeds that have that hashtag. And so people were sending out hashtag snowpocalypse and hashtag snowbageddon, but those seem to be applying to everything in the Mid-Atlantic area. So several people, I think, settled on Snowville, just to discuss what was going on in the weather, what we expected, what we were doing to prepare, and what it was going to be like when we were stuck over the weekend. Incidentally, yeah, Walt is a friend of mine, and I have no reason to disbelieve the situation that he's in, but I happen to know he was doing Facebook updates yesterday.
Waldo, of course, if he has no power, he'll just have to listen to this later. We are making every effort to podcast this later, assuming that I don't ruin it. Caller, are you there? No, caller hung up. But we did get a call now. Hang on for a little bit. If you can hear the radio in your earpiece, that means you have gotten through. But Sean's here chatting with me, and Rusty's finishing up Bluegrass, and so we may have to answer the phones directly instead of getting the normal, hi, WNRN, wake-up call. What can we do for you? So dial us up.
Don't call in with your Bluegrass request because Rusty's in the other room right now.
So 979-0919, whoever that was, please dial us back up. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You know, we continue our conversation about many topics. We seem to focus on snow to start the hour. Waldo Jaquith couldn't be with us today because of the weather, so I am going to hunt him down to get him on over the next few weeks before Virginia legislature is over this season. Plowing. The December storm really got everybody fired up on mm-hmm. both ends mm-hmm. because those folks who needed to drive, whether it was Saturday or Sunday or even an attempt to go to work on Monday, the somewhat curvy downhill road that I live on, even on Tuesday, was still just a sheet of inch thick, 2 inch thick, you know, icy, slushy, whatever. In fact, I guess there was little slush. But today, coming to the station, it was just asphalt in most places on the roads that we were on.
Well, I think it's a combination of things there, Rick. I mean, for one thing, the municipal authorities, I think, were better prepared after our experience in December. But also, I think citizens did a better job. You know, people got off the road. They got home early. They didn't get stuck so their cars would be abandoned. So I think everyone came together in that regard. I know you may recall in December, Rick, that my family was heading upstate or out of state on vacation just before Christmas. I mean, delayed leaving by a day. And my wife reported that it was horrible trying to get out of Charlottesville, out of Albemarle, out of the county. But then once she got out of there and on the roads, then everything was fine. I mean, ironically, she had an easier drive all the way up to upstate New York last December than she did just trying to get out of the region. So I think the weather in December gave us a warning and made us better prepared for this. And hopefully we won't forget those lessons in the future.
Caller, are you with us?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Contribute, please.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. I live out in Fluvanna County, and, you know, we've had power on and off where I am, and I know there are still people without power, and that's, you know, much more urgent need than what I'm calling about. But, you know, before you were talking about, you know, NBC 29, and that's, you know, we usually watch that to rely on, you know, finding out about the roads and the weather, and but the cable is out. And no one ever talks about the cable being out, and I don't know how widespread that is, but I can't get any news about road conditions, about trees down, about power outages, about what's open, what's not. I mean, I look out my driveway, and my road in front of my house is drivable, but I have no idea about anything else because the cable is out, and I switch radio stations around, and I don't get a whole lot of information compared to what I get when I watch a news channel on TV, and was just, you know, wondering if anybody else felt that way, or if you know, radio stations ever took that into consideration. You know, the weather goes like really fast, where at least on TV I can get a better idea of what's going on, but when the cable is out, nobody seems to think about, you know, giving people the information that they needed, that they would have gotten on TV from other means.
Well, hang on with us for a second, because, agreed, I would say that the cable is often overlooked, because when you said cable, my first thought was, you know, I've been hunting for some place to watch the Super Bowl today.
Mm-hmm.
And, Sean, you've got kids, and so I would think that in many ways they can get a lot bored a little more quickly.
You know, we were lucky. If the Internet went out in my house, I'm sure the kids would start climbing the walls, but we didn't lose power for very long. The cable's going. And now, you know, with the new, if you have power and the cable's out, if you have a digital receiver, you can receive a lot of the digital channels. Right here on the monitor in the studio, we play Channel 29 All Weather station, which on my TV comes in, on my digital TV comes in on 1.2. So even if the cable goes out, we're able to pick that up.
Caller, I'm sorry, I should have asked this earlier. What's your name?
Ann,
do you have other features that you can rely on? I mean, we talk about cable and the importance of that. Is that out in your entire area? Is your phone working where you can call friends and or family and get updates that way?
No, everybody I know, the cable is gone. I mean, all the people that I've called anyway, nobody seems to have cable access. And when you call the cable company, they just have a recording that says, "We know you're out, hang up." Basically, that's what they say.
And so what are you doing?
Well, I mean, we're staying home because, you know, we're not taking any chances and we're listening to the radio, but we're just not getting any information from the radio that I normally could get from TV, that's all. And I'm just saying I would think that when other means of communication are out, because, you know, we can't get the Internet either to look anything up because the cable is out. You know, I just wondered if the radio stations ever consider that and ever consider covering more news and weather than they normally do for local people when the cable is out. That's all.
Well, that's a great question. I appreciate the call, and I'm going to drag the station master into here to answer that. Thank you, Ann.
Okay.
Well, most stations, you know, are automated most of the time. This is an issue which has come up in life-threatening situations from time to time. Out in North Dakota a few years ago, train derailed, had chemical cars on it, which proceeded to leak, and they wanted to evacuate the town. They contacted the station, because it was actually just one owner, owned by a big national group who will remain unnamed. Well, actually, we can say who they were, because it was all over the news. It was Clear Channel, and the local sheriff and the emergency people could not find anybody within, like, 50 miles who knew anything about, you know, what was going on there. The radio station, there was nobody in the building. It was completely automated. There were no human beings there. There was no way that they could use the station to alert anybody to anything. It's not quite that bad in Charlottesville, but I can guarantee you that if you went to either of the two big national chains that are here in Charlottesville running radio stations right now, you would find somewhere between zero and maybe one person in the building.
Well, let me ask you, though, 11:20 here on the wake-up call. Our planned guest, Waldo Jaquith, couldn't be with us today. So we're just taking your calls and talking about your topics, and we focused on the weather to start. Ann was asking about people thinking about cable as a more important feature that could be lost.
That can go out in a heartbeat, though.
Understood.
I mean, that's just as soon as the wires come down and a tree limb hits the telephone pole, you know, bang, no cable.
But during such severe weather, and weather people from New York are always coming into the store saying, why is everybody so worried about this? But here, this is a severe weather issue, and does NRN update or increase their amount of information given during this sort of storm?
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday afternoon. I'm not usually on a weekend, but as we got stuff in here and stuff is showing up in my email, or we were monitoring the TV stations and some websites, and if there were closings. Yesterday it was kind of ridiculous because, like, everything was closed, so, you know, it'd be easier to just do the things that were open, you know. But Friday afternoon, same way. I mean, we had people here, and as people were calling us, we did get some phone calls here directly with some things that were closed and some things that were open, especially some restaurants who wanted to tell everybody that they were really open. You know, that's good, too. And we put just about all of them on the air. But, you know, my point was that we could do that because there are really people here. Most of the radio stations around here actually do have human beings on the air during the week, especially in morning and afternoon drive times between, 5 and 10 in the morning and in the afternoon. But, you know, this time of day or if it's middle of the night, you know, there's nobody there. I would say the TV stations are a little bit better. Both Channel 29 and Newsplex have a lot of resources devoted to doing news and information.
Yeah, but if your cable's out and with the new system that started in, last June,
You don't have a digital TV, then you're not watching TV off the air. But if you do have an over-the-air TV, the TV stations, since that's where they make their money, is TV news. I mean, TV stations, relay network programming, there's no such thing as, like, local programming virtually in this country, except for news and weather. And that's where they make their money, and TV stations in a market even this size or the size of Richmond, you notice from the 6 and 11 o'clock news that there was on the air, when you and I were growing up, you know, now they're on at 5 a.m., 5:30 to 6, and then they do it in the Today Show or Good Morning America, and then in the evening they don't start at 6 anymore, they start at 5, even in some big markets they start at 4:30, so TV is really where you get your news and information now, not so much radio, although, you know, some radio stations are still devoted to news and talk.
All right, Ann, thanks for the call. I think a lesson learned in terms of people thinking about cable a little differently rather than just entertainment. 11:23 here on the Wake Up Call. Call up with your question or your comment. We've started with weather and the current issues, but it doesn't have to be that. I've got The Hook and their latest issue it's the Morgan Harrington issue, talking about what's happened there and some of the news that's come out with that. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sean McCord here with me. Let me take a moment to give you the current weather. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today. Highs in the upper 20s, mid-30s in Lynchburg, and lower 30s in Richmond. Clear and cold tonight, lows 9 to 14. Then mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the upper 30s. Right now it's sunny across the listening area, 23 in the valley, 33 in Lynchburg, 35 in Richmond, and 30 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And a shout-out to Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting WNRN and the Wake-Up Call. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Mead Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Sean, you know, jump away from the weather for a minute. You're welcome to call up and ask your weather question, make your point. The road I live on is like one of the last 10 in the county to get plowed. And the road where I'm staying has this unusual issue where the city line stops and the last 200 yards are a county property that never get plowed. So call up with your story if you'd like. But I want to talk a minute about the Morgan Harrington bit of information that came out in the last week or so about the property. The remains were found on a piece of property in the county that the story that's attached to it is that police, investigators, etc., think that whoever committed this crime knows the area pretty well, because they couldn't or most likely would not have been able to put the remains there unless they knew where they were going and what they were doing and were comfortable with that site in what would have been a traumatic situation?
Well, Rick, I think it's important at this point to point out that any speculation on this is at this point just speculation. There's a news vacuum. There was no news on this case for such a long time, and then they found the poor girl's remains last week, and of course, then the conversation immediately turned to how did she get there, what happened, who took her there, was it a homicide, etc. And, you know, especially in this era when we're used to 24-hour news, there's a tendency to kind of rush in, and it's one thing to be sitting around at work, as I was last week with some of my co-workers, and speculating about this, and getting on blogs, and getting on the newspaper site, or some of the other local media sites, and commenting, and suddenly what, you know, is just speculation at this point, starts to take on the patina of news. So I just want to say that before we even start talking about it here, that what we can go on at this point is just speculation. Certainly looking, I've read the stories on the Hook, I've seen the other reports as well, and looking at the maps of the place, it certainly seems unlikely that someone could have just come from out of town and wandered up there in the middle of the night, presumably with a body, and not have known their way around. So certainly that's going to affect how investigators look into this. They're going to look at people who lived near there, or maybe people who hunted on the property, or go back and say, okay, prior to that night in October, did anybody see vehicles that didn't belong there? Did anybody notice, you know, a car driving around the area a week before or 2 weeks before? You know, have people jog their memories? But you know, we have to be careful not to lead open conversation down misleading paths, and let the authorities do their job.
Do the authorities do a better job, or have the possibility of being led to an important bit of information by having not necessarily public conversations like this one, but more open conversations? Because I noticed one of the bits of information that's come out is you mentioned people familiar with the property, people who've hunted on the property, and now they've gone back and said, hey, now those of you who weren't necessarily thinking that you might be part of it, who saw something happen around Copley Bridge or the Metallica concert, but now you folks here think about something unusual or someone that you know. We're not asking you to say, oh, that person could do that kind of awful deed, but just somebody to say, well, you know what? Yeah, this person fits bits of information about familiarity with the property. So I'm not saying they had anything to do with it, but talk to them because maybe they know something and they know something and lead you down the right path. Is that improper to have that conversation in a public area?
I don't think it's improper, but
Rusty?
I was very interested in this case being that I have a 20-year-old daughter as well, and my heart goes out to Dan and Jill Harrington. But I actually work with a guy who was one of the four hunters that had permission to hunt this property, and as of last week, the police haven't even spoken with him yet. David Bass, the farm owner, says he gave the name, the names of all the hunters to the authorities. And the guy I work with, which I know he didn't have anything to do with it, but he hunts a totally different area of his property. But the police have yet to even speak to him. So I'm kind of steamed about that. You know, it could very well be one of the other three. And I just don't understand why they haven't spoken to at least him, you know.
Well, you would think that, I mean, that's what you would think, and Sean, this is what you were talking about, is once the names get out there, or the bit of information about that there are four people with permission to hunt, I think everyone would assume, well, they're going to talk to them, maybe because they had something to do with it, or maybe because they saw something on another night, or saw someone on the property that they thought, that's weird, you know, go away, you don't have permission to be here, we do, who could... Step one to step two to step three, bits of information to lead investigators to hopefully a solve of the case. And Rusty, you're saying that at least the one that you know hasn't even been asked, that I would have assumed, and Sean, that you probably would have assumed that the police, that was one of the first things that they did.
And that's what I was thinking too, because I ask him every day, have the police come and spoken with you yet? And he, no, haven't heard a word. And another thing that's kind of puzzling, too, like, say, speculation, like Sean says, Mr. Bass's article, when they interviewed him, when the Daily Progress interviewed him, it was a big, almost a whole page write-up, and he actually mentioned that there was just tons and tons of evidence that was collected, you know, at the crime scene on his property, and we have yet to hear, you know, what any of this evidence was, which I can understand, you know, the police taking their time and doing their jobs right, but I was just... That's just my own curiosity is, you know, what some of the evidence was that they collected at the crime scene. And,
well,
you know,
and I
time
would,
will tell. But
yeah, and you know, Rusty, I'm with you that I'm very curious about what that might be, but I'm not the least bit surprised that we haven't been told what any of that is.
But I almost get a feeling that the police have given up and they're reaching out to the community, you know, to help. You know, they want, it, you know, words of wisdom or words of, you know, who knows this property real well and who, you know, could fit that description as somebody that knows the property. It's almost like they've come to the end of their line as far as trying to find, you know, who's responsible, and now they're reaching out to the public. And
11:32 on the wake up call, Sean, because I think we have three different people in the room with three different voices, distinct different voices on this topic. You can be another. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sean?
Well, Rusty, I don't think you really meant it when you said the police are giving up, but we're starting a whole new phase of the investigation here, because now at least they have some place to work backwards from. All they had prior to finding her remains was a missing person, and she disappeared, and they had a cell phone, and they had a battery, and they had a general description of her. At least now they know where she ended up. They can start to work backwards a little bit. What they can do when they reach out to the community is help paint a picture. They know roughly when she disappeared. They don't know exactly how long she was out there in the field, but hopefully once the autopsy report comes in, they'll be able to say, yeah, she died that same night. And they can start reaching out to people and say, okay, who do you know that might be familiar with a property that was at the Metallica concert on that night or wasn't around that night and maybe act a little funny? Because it's, you know, it's hard for us to imagine. Well, it's hard for us to imagine anybody doing this in the first place. But it's equally hard to imagine that somebody could do something this horrible and have it not affect them. You know, will they just come back to work the next day, you know, chipper and cheery? Do they come to work the following Sunday? So look for changed behavior in people that you know, people that may have said something about the Metallica concert or expressed a great deal of curiosity, you know, asked odd questions or maybe asked no questions at all.
Now let me, I got a caller, so let's see if they're still there. Caller, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Comment, question?
I just have a couple comments. Everybody says that it was being treated like a murder scene, and we don't even know how she was murdered. Not that I know of, anyway, that I've heard. And I don't know, you know, how old you are, but when I was young and out and partying and everything, people tend to, you know, get together and do a little drinking, do a little whatever, and end up going for joyrides. And it could be that the place where her remains were found is where they ended up, you know? And I don't, you know, and that's just, and then mishap took from there instead of, you know, somebody, you know, local or whatever. I seem sometimes to think that that's maybe what it's all about.
Yeah, I understand because back in the old days when we would have a nice time, and that's part of the ways that I learned a lot of things about the county was we would drive to somebody in the group knew Pancake Falls. And we would drive to Pancake Falls, even though it said had lots of do not park here, no trespassing signs. But there's a place to park where the homeowners can't see it, and we'd walk down and play in the falls. That's how we learned about the rock in the middle of Hardware River where you could park off to the side and go sit out there and entertain and things like that. So I understand what you're saying there. And I find that.
It's a believable thing, you know, and, you know, it's unfortunate that she, you know, met her maker there. And, I, you know, that's just about all I've got to say on that. The one thing I did notice yesterday, or I guess it was Friday, they showed clips of her funeral and the mass that they were giving her. And it just, I was really outraged a little bit by the way that the minister you know, referred to her as the Sweet Bones calling out, and I just thought that was kind of funky, you know. I thought, you know, her body and her soul, you know, rise from there, you know. It all depends on how you believe, but, you know, it's to think of her in the flesh instead of in the gone, you know.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, bye.
Well, I think the caller touches on an interesting point, Reagan. I mentioned this earlier, that we'll know a lot more once the autopsy report comes out, and hopefully the police will release that. So we'll, you know, hopefully they'll be able to determine whether she died on the spot, whether there's evidence that she was killed there or killed somewhere else and her and brought there. I think that will help again to fit in some of the missing pieces to allow us to paint a picture of what happened that night.
11:37 on the wake up call here on WNRN. Call up with your question, your comment. Waldo Jaquith, unable to be here with us today thanks to Snow My God 2010. We'll get him back in on another day. So we're just talking about different topics in the news. Started off with the weather. You're welcome to make a comment about that if you want to flash back to that topic. Moved on to the Morgan Harrington case and some of the current events that are happening there. Sean McCord, kind enough to step in and help me. Rusty's here, Mike Friend, as we go through the topics at hand. Let me take a moment and do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, well, the coverage of the ongoing Morgan Harrington story. A local farmer recently discovered her remains, but how did she get there? And what does the location tell police about who may have harmed her? The snow continues, but with all the closings, will schools ever continue? And a local from Nelson County writes a true story about Haiti and her brother-in-law. The Hook, weekly reading for the weekly snowstorm. And support for NRN today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, who remind you that winter in Virginia is cold and wet and doesn't end until late March. But you can keep yourself warm and dry by visiting Blue Ridge Mountain Sports to see their selection of Gore-Tex outerwear and footwear, as well as smart wool socks, hats, and gloves. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen, the Chesterfield Town Center, and West Broad Street, Richmond. Online, brms.com. Caller, what do you have for us?
Hi, Rick, Gary Grant out in Earliesville.
Mr. Grant, hey, can you get to your house?
Well, I'm in my house, and we're in our, I guess at 4:30 this afternoon, we'll be coming up on 48 hours without power, but we've got a gas stove and a wood-burning stove, so we're okay.
Yeah, I'm worried about my pipes.
Yeah. Hey, I apologize, I just tuned in. Since you've got your station buddies there, I had a question about radio, if I may. And this obviously is about other stations, but is there any way that a local radio station can bypass the FCC regulations regarding directional signal in times of local emergency so that the local people can hear what's going on rather than listening to syndication from some of these AM stations around? And I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Station manager Mike Friend, did you catch all that?
Yes, I did. I assume he's probably concerned with the fact that WINA, which is the news and information station around here, has a directional pattern at night. They blow all the signal down to the southeast, and if you happen to be behind it, then you don't get WINA anymore, which is why they started repeating the basketball games and the important stuff on one of their FM stations. The answer to the caller's question is, with regard to directional antenna, I don't think there is a regulation like that. The FCC does have, and not that it's particularly relevant anymore, but for daytime-only radio stations that they used to have a long time ago, most daytime-only radio stations now do have some amount of night power, so there really isn't such a thing as a daytime station anymore. But for radio stations which were licensed only to operate in the daytime if there were an emergency, they were able to operate without any prior authorization from the FCC at night during an emergency. I actually lived in a town in Ohio one time where a daytime radio station did, in fact, do that during a flood on the Ohio River.
All right, Gary, I hope that answered your question very much. 98% of that went over my head, other than I heard WINA repeating basketball games. So dial up with your question, your comment, as you can see. Station manager Mike Friend is here, and he will answer your fancy, hard to understand radio questions if needed. Rusty Simpre is here. Sean McCord is here. Rick Moore. Sunday morning wake-up call. Dial up 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Question, comment, pick your topic.
I wanted to make a comment concerning the situation with the roads in Virginia back at versus December and now. And the first storm, one thing that nobody's really mentioned is, obviously I'm Republican, by the way, but the assessment that I've looked back on is we had a Democratic governor, Kane, and, you know, in the leadership at that time, and a lot of state funding had been pulled under his administration. As you know, anyone traveling the state of Virginia had, if they needed to stop at a rest area for months, you know, they were all shut down. And, that was one of the first things Governor McDonald did when he came into the office, as he reopened those almost instantaneously. Thank goodness, that he did, because I travel a lot. And so one thing I noticed, the logistics, since he's been in office has been tremendous with, state response and everything, as well as local government, I think, with handling the storm and the progress that we've seen this time versus back in December when there was less logistics and management in that situation. I think it speaks highly of his leadership that we've seen as a result with this storm. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw somebody was trying to dial on the toll-free number at that time. But Sean and I are both in here, so we can only answer one at a time. So dial back on the toll-free 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, and 979-0919 is now open. Sean, caller has a point. If you look at the calendar,
mm-hmm.
The first snow happened under Governor McCain, the Democratic Governor McCain.
Kane.
Sorry, I'm mixing McDonald and McCain. So the first one happened under Democratic Governor Kane,
mm-hmm.
and the last two have happened under Republican Governor McDonald.
Right. Well,
with much better roads, I'll admit to that, that I can see asphalt this time on 250. Last week, same, nicely done.
Well, I think it's worth pointing out a couple things. The snow that we had in December was 2 feet overnight, and I don't think anybody was prepared for that. And having the snow in December, I think, did better prepare us for that. And I think if you talk to the local officials, they'll say, yeah, we learned quite a few lessons in December. I don't know if you can really fair to place it at the feet of Governor Kane, but I think it's clear that when we got 2 feet of snow in a 24-hour period, when we had a Democratic governor in office, and clearly God hates Democrats.
Oh, but there's also the issue that the caller pointed out about opening up the rest areas. And that was done by current Governor McDonald just in the last 2 weeks.
That's right. Governor Kane closed the rest areas. It was a controversial move. He was trying to save some money. He didn't close all of them. I think he closed about half of them. We weren't the only state to do so. I traveled across the country. I drove across the country this summer, Rick, as you might recall. And
left me hanging.
Yes, I did. And there were a lot of states that were doing similar things. But it was really clear when you got into Virginia, came over the state line, and you're hitting all these closed rest areas. And one of the first things he did, Governor McDonald, was come in and say, hey, Virginia's open for business again, and he opened up the rest areas. What I haven't heard is how we're going to pay for that.
Yeah, and that's often forgotten. And, caller, hang on just a second, is that is not a free enterprise, and that somewhere the money to do so comes from somewhere else, either directly out of your pocket with an April, May paycheck, or when you want something else and that doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that it wasn't the right thing to do. It just means that the money comes from somewhere and may come from something else that you care for or don't care for, and you're like, fine, I'd rather not have that. I'd rather have the rest areas open. But he didn't just go, let's flip the switch on instead of off. All right. Now, see, there's a lot of impatient people. You're just sitting in your homes. What is the deal? 11:46 on the wake-up call. Dial up, phone lines open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks, talking about a variety of topics today, everything from the weather. Now we've moved a little bit into politics. We're talking about the Morgan Harrington case and how all that is in the news. Let me take a moment and thank Salad Creations for their support today. You can find them at 110 5th Street here in Charlottesville, just off the east end of the downtown mall. At Salad Creations, you can choose from Caesar and Cobb salads, as well as salads made with free-range chicken, turkey, and even wild Alaskan salmon. Now at Salad Creations, it's their new hot panini creations, like the tuna and cheddar melt or the triple grilled cheese. Fresh is fabulous at Salad Creations, 110 5th Street, Southeast Charlottesville, and at saladcreations.net. And coming soon, it's Salad Creations at Port Republic Road in Harrisonburg. That's right. All those Harrisonburg folks who should be listening on 95.1. All right. I got all kinds of phone lines ringing. I'm going to take the toll-free line first. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. What you got for us?
I didn't know. I mean, I understand that y'all are talking about Morgan Harrington, which is a that's just a terrible situation, any which way you come at it. But I didn't know if this was too big of a topic to present so late in the show. But I was listening to the radio coming down 29, I guess, on Wednesday or Thursday, and they were talking about different subjects that y'all may be covering. And one that was mentioned was the legalization of marijuana. And I didn't know if that is something that's actually really being discussed on a national governmental level, just because one thing I see is in California, there's an incredible deficit, and with the legalization of marijuana, that would bring an incredible amount of tax dollars into our government, which in turn would help with the whole issue of health care. I didn't know if that was just too big of a topic right now. I'll hang up and listen. Be safe out there. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you very much. I can tell you what I learned from doing my homework for the originally planned show on the 2010 Virginia legislature with Waldo Jaquith. Again, we will reschedule that for another weekend when Waldo can participate. What I have down here is House Bill 1134 and House Bill 1136 both involved pros for marijuana. And the interesting thing is they both of those were put forth by a Republican who is a doctor, or he may be a pharmacist, I believe. It's actually he's a pharmacist. One of them was to sort of it wasn't really to allow marijuana to be legal, but it sort of decriminalized. It made it less painful to be caught with your pot in your pocket. It allowed greater amounts with lesser penalties. And then there was another one that had effect to do with doctors. You weren't found guilty of marijuana possession if you had a prescription from your doctor to have it. Both of those bills died in their commissions. That's not the right word.
Committees,
thank you. That's why I look at Sean and I'm like reaching for the proper word to use. Both of those bills died in committee, so they will go no further. I believe that there are two or three other bills that are more negative towards marijuana, and both of those are continuing forward through the legislature at this point, but I don't have the bill numbers, et cetera, in front of me.
The caller brings up California. I grew up in California, and I go out there often to visit family and friends. And something that's gotten, I think, lesser play in the news lately was that the Los Angeles City Council has now set up some local regulations to regulate the marijuana clinics. A few years ago, California allowed medical marijuana with a prescription, and these clinics started opening up all over the place. A story I read is that there were literally thousands of them, where you could just basically walk in, walk up to a guy who has who's a doctor, who has some kind of license, and said, "Yeah, my knee hurts. I need some marijuana," and he'd write a prescription for you. And things got a little out of hand. So the city council has recently made a law, and they're trying to enforce it. There are questions about local laws trumping state laws and federal laws, but they're not trying to shut down a lot of these clinics. What I hear is that if law is implemented the way they wanted to, they'll shut down 9 out of 10 and more clearly regulate the other ones. So, you know, the California at least is a case in point where you can go maybe too far the other direction.
11:52 on the wake up call. Thank you, caller. Nice little change in conversation there a bit. And this program has done previous hours on legalizing marijuana, mostly for medical purposes, and we will probably do one again in the future. Al Byrne, A-L-B-Y-R-N-E. If you Google that, it'll come up, because I can't think that the Virginia group has changed their name over the last several years. I did a show on with them multiple years ago, and it had one name for their group, and I think I did it last year in 2009 in the April or May time period, and there was a new name for their organization. But you can Google it. You can even go to SeavillePodcast.com, and there's in the left-hand column, you'll find Wake Up Call, and you may be able to find the podcast from that particular show.
I remember that show, Rick, and I remember afterwards when I left the station, I got really hungry.
You're a dog. Sean McCord here, 11:53. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. As you can see, the topic is up to you. We've gone from weather. We discussed briefly the Morgan Harrington case. Gary Grant called in asking about how radio stations worked, and the last caller with the marijuana question, of which I know nothing about. Caller, what you got?
Hi, I'm sorry to keep hanging up on y'all. I have a quick question regarding Morgan Harrington case. I didn't know if this was something y'all had heard about, but are they checking the registered sex offenders in the area? Do you know?
According to the article that I read, articles that I read in both Seville and The Hook, yes, they are. You know, that information is publicly available. I think there were something like half a dozen registered sex offenders in the area. The newspaper looked them up and declined to publish the names, which I think was the right thing to do, because right now there's no reason to connect them with the case. And I think they were able to eliminate two of them. One of them, because he's wheelchair bound and has to carry around an oxygen tank. And I forget why. There was somebody else who was disqualified. But, yeah, certainly they're going to be looking into that.
Good question. Thank you, caller.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right. There's time left for another call or two. If you would like to participate, pick your topic, as long as it's appropriate for 11 to noon airtime. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Rusty Simpre is here. Mike Friend is here. Pretty soon, Mike C. will be here, right? Isn't he covering for Drew Thompson? Who will be here for Les Timps Purdue? Because this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. You know, Sean McCord with me, and I see the phone ringing, but let me ask you this question real quick.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I found to be very interesting that I hadn't read, I felt like I had been keeping up with the Morgan Harrington case, but I wasn't aware until I looked through one of the recent articles just yesterday or today that they had found what they think might be her Pantera T-shirt over by one of the buildings on JPA, is that correct?
This is I read that too. I did read something about it earlier, and it sounds like a bit of a red herring. She was reported as wearing a Pantera T-shirt. Apparently, they're not a bakery; they're a band. As described, it was a black T-shirt with white lettering. And a student a few weeks ago found a T-shirt just sitting in the bushes outside of his apartment building. That was a Pantera shirt, but it was a different kind of shirt. It had pictures of the band members on it. So
rather than just the name, which he'd been shown wearing.
Right. So the student did the right thing. He didn't touch it. He called the police. They came over and they investigated it. But the inference I got from the newspaper story was that, you know, the police did the right thing by coming over and investigating, but it doesn't sound like it's really going to be a lead in this.
Caller, are you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Question, comment?
Yes, I was wondering if you all might discuss or know how much preparedness elasticity the electric companies would have, since we knew this storm was coming perhaps 4 days in a row, ahead of time. Do they have the ability to prepare for widespread power outages as opposed to just reacting to a situation after it's occurred?
All right, we'll give that our best try. Thanks.
And the other concept is, I'm calling from the Orange area, and we've had this over a number of years. If there's a power outage on the weekend, it seems, one gets a computerized answer on the phone, but then the work is usually done during the week. And I'm just wondering about how much preparedness.
All right, well, we're running out of time, so give us a minute or two. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, I can imagine there's only so much you can do when something like this happens. I know I saw a lot of utility trucks out driving around yesterday, just in my neighborhood driving around.
Well, they came down to, where I am is at the end of the street, staying with a friend, and they came down, and there were two of them in the truck, and one of them went to figure out what had caused the power outage, and he shouted back, and she wrote it on her clipboard, the two trees down, and where they were, what little strip of power they were located on.
Yeah, one of the things that makes it kind of difficult for the power company to do that, the best preparedness that they can do is to get out there in July and in May and September and get the branches and everything away from the lines. As far as when a storm is coming, it's probably a little bit much to expect for the power company to know whether it's going to be ice and there are going to be things coming down and hitting lines, hitting poles, or whether it's just going to be all fluffy snow, because you can have like 4 feet of fluffy snow and it's not going to bother the power company a bit, except for maybe some of the cars sliding off the road into the telephone poles, but it's not really going to damage anything. But quarter, half inch radial ice, that'll do it.
Yeah. It's a good call, but I don't know that, we can only do so much, but they're welcome to fix the power in the Rays Ford Road area, because I'm sure that when I go home, I'm visioning broken pipes. Thank you, Sean McCord, for helping me today. Rusty Simpre, station manager Mike Friend. I think Drew Thompson couldn't make it over today, so Mike C. will be up next with Les Temps Purdue. We'll be back next week, and we will get Walter Jaquith on the program to discuss the Virginia legislature. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.